what really inspired me about you was how you have actually faced your shit and healed yourself. So that's why I really wanted to bring you on this podcast.
I'm a photographer, an artist. I stand for freedom, for truth. I create art really as a process of uncovering what's buried inside and then transcending what is revealed.
Where were you born?
I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina in the US.
And your ancestral background?
My mom is from Cuba. She actually came here on a freedom flight. And she almost didn't make it. My dad was born here. He was born in Atlanta, actually. But his dad immigrated here from Colombia, South America, was a surgeon there. My grandmother, who is Irish and French and part German, because on that side, my grandmother's side, my great, 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 great aunt is actually a saint, Saint Mary Ann. She was like one of the few woman saints canonized by the Catholic Church. That's a whole nother episode. She spent a lot of time in Hawaii with the lepers. That's how she was canonized, because you know you have to do like a miracle, you have to do something unexplained by science for them to finally say, okay, you're a saint.
And you've done something unexplained by science. You've healed yourself from endometriosis, and that's what we're here to talk about on this podcast.
I would say my trauma led me to my awakening and my purpose. And I wouldn't fully realize that until way later on, because you still have to experience the trauma, right? And the pain, pain is inevitable sometimes, but the suffering is really what's optional there. When I was 12 years old, my parents sent me to Catholic school. I wasn't really too happy about that. And I was sexually abused there. That I would say was some of the first kind of little sparks of my awakening. So around 12, 13, I started to realize that basically people are fake, that there's this thing that we can tell other people and present ourselves one way, but in reality, it's something completely different going on. I was sexually abused there. And at the time, I didn't even understand that it was necessarily abuse, right? It's like getting robbed, but you don't know what theft is yet, right? That occurred. And at the same time, I started my period and it was super painful. My whole pelvic floor, everything down there was pain, like couldn't even use a tampon, like none of that stuff. And I was kind of told, like most women are, oh, you know, it's normal, it's pain, it's a part of life, it's just part of being a woman. I couldn't get a tampon in or anything else. People are like, what's wrong with you? This is like how you're made. And never anything is wrong, like, or not wrong, but you know, different than other people that are around you, especially with your genitals. It really messes with you, it messes with your head, especially at a young age, and led me to more trauma, developed an eating disorder, suicidal, all kinds of things. I never got the appropriate treatment at that time. Nothing was ever really done about the sexual abuse. It was all kind of cast aside. Never got the appropriate treatment, developed an eating disorder later on, suicidal, all kinds of things. But at the same time, just really wanting to escape. And one day I just woke up and I heard this voice and it was like, draw, just draw. And it was in high school, it was on like 17 or 18. And I had never done that. So I started to draw and I just could somehow. It just poured out of me. And I certainly had training, but there was definitely something naturally there. And I love just recognizing the contrast again of the shadows, how the shadows define the figure and how you can only see the light by seeing the dark. It just, this idea of the contrast just is really, and it perpetuated and led me to photography, where I started making my own cameras, my pinhole cameras out of an oatmeal box, because I loved the idea, just light passing through a hole for a certain amount of time freezes time, basically. And you can see everything through that. So that is how I came to art. And then like on like a scholarship, basically, because I was going to basically fail out of school. I was like supposed to really not even survive. Then got a scholarship to SCAD, an art school, Savannah College of Art and Design. It's a pretty well-known art school here in the U.S. So I went there and really launched from there. Once I was able to be on my own and be free is when I really started to heal. When I dove into my art, when you talk about taking things into your own hands, that's when I had the space, the emotional space to really do that and explore that. There's one of the last times that happened, I was so scared. And I was just like, I was so scared. I got mad. And I was just like, I'm fucking done with this. Like, I'm done being scared that I'm just going to die at every second. Like, I'm really going to face this. Because I used to hide it. It's like living another life. People don't know, like, oh, my period. I have this life on my period where it's like the exorcist. No one knows because it's like societally unacceptable. And then I have all the other time. And I used to not know when that train was going to come. I used to hide. I used to hide from, which I think a lot of women do. I used to wish that I was a man.
Yeah.
Right. We're born into it. And a lot of women live like men. Like it's men's health light. That's how women's health is in this kind of Western world, which is totally dishonoring the feminine polarity. It's a whole war on the feminine polarity. Why? Well, in my opinion, because, and like Teal Swan says, men are to the physical what women are to the spiritual. So it's really a war on spirituality we've been going through for a long time.
How do you get from dying in the pain of your endometriosis to the point where it is so excruciating that you're having to then even get angry at yourself because of the pain that's so visceral, to finding some kind of relief or release in art? What were you drawing?
It started with figure drawing, anatomy. I love figure drawing, gestural drawing, and all body parts is really, really like a lot of medical stuff too. Love anatomy drawing and life drawing. The body is really what fascinated me, because all the shadows and the curves and the highlights across the body. So the human body was really, and the face too, the eyes. You always start with the eye with everything pretty much in drawing anyone's face. So yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, it's a reflection of the entire universe, our body.
You started drawing the human body as a way perhaps for you to get more in touch with your own body and the pain it was holding. It's almost a somatic practice for you, the artwork.
It is, without knowing at all at the time, but knowing it, my body knew. Mm. My body knew, my higher self knew. You know what I'm saying? I may have my ego self, my identity, or my just awareness level, a consciousness at the time. Hell no. I've been completely healed for about 3 years. Another marker event on my wedding anniversary, October 13th, 2020, when I literally just had a download and I looked around the room, because I'm doing all this work, like pelvic floor physical therapy, sex therapy, like all this shit. And it was like that moment from The Secret where the kid brings the dad the vision boards and he's like, "Dad, what's this?" And the dad looks at the vision boards and it's a house, and he's living in the house, and it's the house he put on the vision board like 5 years ago, and he doesn't even realize it. I don't know if anyone's seen that, but it was exactly like that moment where I looked around the room and I was like, holy shit, I'm here. I'm free. You're here on your anniversary. Gonna have sex, like, which used to be something very, very painful. For some reason, it was just that day that I realized inside, holy shit, you're free. And the only person that had the keys to the prison was me. It was always me. And I realized at that moment that I had always been free. There was never a time that I hadn't. It was only me that kept myself prisoner by defining myself as abused or whatever. And nothing wrong with that. There's a time, right?
But having that realization that day, that was, yeah, it was 2020. Even after all the healing and all that stuff, having that freedom from sexual abuse, freedom through sexual empowerment, really healing from that, that is everything. Even more than all the endo, all the hormonal stuff that I did. If you can feel free and confident and empowered and know yourself sexually, because people don't even understand sexual energy to begin with.
Yeah.
It's so distorted and cheapened. But that was definitely another day that I had to throw in there. I was like, oh shit, I need to tell Safa this. She just asked this. So that is also how I moved to going from endometriosis therapy, like, you know, doctors, and really taking things into my own hands. Because by the way, I went to doctors. When I used to go to doctors, they would tell me, oh, you know, just have a baby. Oh, you're just one of those people that has pain. Oh, just become a man.
Sorry,
literally the drug Lupron that they still give to women today to treat endometriosis, that is the same drug they give women transitioning to become men. And they've been sued criminally. It removes all estrogen, puts your body in fake menopause. This is their treatment for endometriosis to become a man. So that just to give everyone a little taste of the gaslighting from doctors until I educated myself and sought out, obviously, people that do work like you and sought out alternative methods, which I feel like are going to become mainstream. The mainstream Western medicine world, it's criminal what these people do, literally criminal, because they're literally dosing out drugs that these companies have been sued criminally.
You make the connection, and when did you make the connection between the endometriosis that you were suffering with and the abuse that you had suffered at school?
I definitely thought there would be a connection. I mean, it's not a coincidence that, okay, I go through this sexual trauma and I have pain now everywhere. I can't, you know, nothing will fit there, like super tight pelvic floor, like just pain, cramps, everything. My first experience with anything down there was pain. So it really took some undoing of my own knots and to really sit with myself and really ask my pain. That's when I really started to know about what had happened and what this was from, because we also block out memories too.
And for people who've gone through the abuse at a very young age, sometimes a lot of the clients I work with, it's even pre-verbal sexual abuse, they don't have any memory because the brain is still developing. And, you know, if they were a few months old, there is no memory there. Yet the body holds the memory. So trying to understand why they have the womb conditions they do and being given no answers of the root causes from the medical system and having no memory, it's like trying to find a needle in a haystack in a very, very dark room.
I had one of the best sex therapists. I did a group there. I was with a group of women, about five women, all having pain with sex from different things. And I think the group aspect, again, seeing others and knowing yourself, being able to love others and know others and vice versa, and having that group and that support was a huge, huge influence. In my healing, for sure.
We find that in womb room a lot, because it's so much easier to be moved by someone else's story and to get emotional and to be compassionate and to see the other. When it comes to seeing ourselves, sometimes it's more challenging. So when you have a mirror of the other person in the group and you do the group work, it's actually very, very deep healing. And I feel it's the ancient tribal ways that women would heal would always be together in you know, circle. How did you get to, you're in this women's group, you've got already an idea that the sexual trauma has caused these physical responses in your body and in your hormonal system, in your nervous system. And you're in this group with all these women, and presumably the topic of sexual trauma is starting to come up. So you go home, probably start digesting and start thinking about these things. Do you remember exactly what you were doing or what you started to do to get the voice of your womb to start speaking to you, where it, you started to get clarity? Like, what were you doing?
Do I remember the voice of my womb where I started to get clarity? Actually, yes. So oddly enough, on my, even though my period was so painful, I would feel oddly empowered. It's like a complete surrender because you had no choice but to completely surrender. So I would actually get messages, like lots, until it wasn't until I was able to, like, okay, find some ways to like calm down the pain, change diet changes, lifestyle changes, doing pelvic floor physical therapy, that it's always, and even today through my period is where I will know my truth. Mm-hmm. So I like to say, instead of the birth of a child, your period is a birth of your truth at that specific cycle. And that's really where, when I learned about the phases, when I learned, okay, it's not just your period, it's follicular, it's ovulatory, it's luteal, menstrual, your left and right brain have more communication during your menstrual cycle than any other time, than any other phase. And you're primed to be like the most kind of psychic during that time biologically. There's many other things and intuitive. I started to listen. I read all this stuff. And so I was like, okay, so I'm at a point where I'm not so scared of my period and it's becoming regular that I started to listen. I still listen today. And that inspired this whole art series.
And by listening, you mean feeling into your womb and actually feeling into the pain that is arising and interpreting the sensations as what messages you are intending to understand, to heal.
Yeah.
That's the somatic connection, right? Is the interpretation of the internal body sensations. What would you say to perhaps a woman who's listening to this, who has excruciating endometriosis and is like, I can't listen to anything. You're telling me the first step is to listen to my womb. I can't do that. I have to take loads of painkillers, loads of medication, et cetera, et cetera. What would you say to that?
Take your painkillers, do whatever you need to do, but just start where you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to look like that. But I would definitely say, do the things that you can 100% change today. Food, what you are putting in, you can control that. Immediately evaluate that, I would say. On a more somatic and spiritual level, I would say acceptance and surrender. And that doesn't mean condoning and it doesn't mean giving up, but those have been very powerful for me. Accepting who I am and honoring what I need, rather than thinking, because a lot of the pain also comes from ourselves judging ourselves for having pain and thinking that is wrong and thinking that is bad. It's like we don't even realize that we're doing it, but so much of that's okay, I have pain. Okay, I need to take a painkiller. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need this. My body needs this. And there's nothing fucking wrong with that. I need this. And my body's telling me I need it. And that's just where I'm at. It's not because I'm unhealthy, because I'm hormonally imbalanced, all this other stuff. That may be true, but it's your perception of it and judging yourself and making yourself bad and sick and a victim and wrong. That's where the pain is. You're not a victim. You just have your needs, and your needs are X, Y, and Z at this time. I need to take drugs, or I need to do this. And I'm working to get to another level because we are ever-changing beings. But coming from that place first of acceptance will allow you to listen, because you can't even listen at all when you're running from who you are, you know?
Mic drop. Absolute mic drop. It's very, very true. And what would you say if someone's listening to this and they're thinking, I could start listening to my womb, but I'm so scared of what I'm going to hear.
Yeah. The truth will set you free.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to be more. Say more, because for someone who's on that journey, like that's good. That is profound, right? But it may not land with someone who's on that journey of, why am I going to open terror and destabilize myself even more by discovering something terrifying?
Because that is the way to your freedom. The only way there is through. The only way out is through. It's not around. It's going to be there. So the fastest way to you feeling better is through whatever you're scared of. So really, it's your friend. It has a message for you, really. It really does, because it's you. It's you. There is nothing. And that kind of goes back to the idea of oneness. When you realize that all is one, the power struggle's over. Because everything's me. There is no more, oh, I'm above you, I'm below you, oh, I'm winning, I'm losing. There is no winner, there is no loser, because it's all me. And it is all you. And at the higher levels especially, but in the internal world, in your body, there is nothing, even though it is very scary. This is coming from someone who lived in fear for a long time. Mm-hmm. The faster, and I think what made me not as scared is just having so much pain and surrender that I'm like, I don't even care if I die, because I'm like, this is the only way that I just have to face this, because I've done this, you know, surgery, birth controls, all this other stuff. That could be a whole other show. But realizing that it's working for you. It really is working for you.
It's true, to try to clear the trauma that has been held then, and the energy and the emotions that are held then, the pelvic floor, in the nerves, in all those communication channels, is the story. And if it doesn't move and you don't feel anything and you just carry that around your whole life and it never reacts and you never feel it, how would you ever deal with it?
I know.
You would, you wouldn't, but it would be living inside you, that pain. And that kind of, that vibration of being completely betrayed and having your body taken advantage of is living inside you, and you can't feel it. So when our bodies react, we become so sensitive to it. We don't like the reaction of our bodies. But as you're saying, if we can see that it's us, we're having the reaction. And I often have to remind my clients that the body is not working against you. It's actually you.
It's you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And accepting that, that's why I say the truth will set you free. Give yourself a break. Even the hardest truths to accept, like, you know, anything that you're scared of facing, like the denial of that is going to make it so much worse. Like, there's some hard truths, but like, it's like once you accept that this is true, like this is the truth, this is the reality, right? And it's not like things can't change. It's like all the weight comes off.
Mm.
You know, like who cares? Yeah. Just like, huh.
It's a big relief, isn't it? It's, you just feel lighter. Like, you don't have to carry that anymore. You don't have to carry that armor. Just let it go. And you look around and you're like, I'm going to be judged and I'm going to be shamed. And actually nothing happens. And then you go, oh, I've been carrying that around all that time to protect myself against what? Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So what did you find? And actually, I want to ask you, how many years from excruciating endometriosis to being completely clear and womb embodied where you are now, how many years did that take you?
17 years, about.
17 years of self-healing. Mm-hmm.
Well, so I wasn't healing all those 17 years, but I spent 17 years having endo and in excruciating pain. Yeah. Since I've been 12 years old. So I'm 34 now. It's about 3 years healed. I'm not the best at math. I'm an artist. So, but that's about 17 years. It's about 17 years. Yeah. That, and like I said, it's an onion. So, but I really started to kickstart. I really started to face my shit like I said, there's little pockets. Okay, 12 years old, but then long period of just pain and suffering. And then again, 18, 21, really accelerated in my 20s, for sure. And then even just now, even 3 years ago, just becoming free. I would say that moment on my wedding, I'll never forget it because my wedding anniversary. In 2020, October 13th, I had that full download about it wasn't even a download. It was me realizing, holy shit, you're free. You're free. Like never, ever, ever. And this is coming from someone who always thought that I'd have pain with sex and that I'd have all of, this would be my cross to bear. And even if there is pain, it's a totally different relationship because it's not about how much pain I have. It's about how good I can feel. You see what I'm saying? So when your attention, even if there is pain there, you keep the desire and you give up the struggle. Just give that up, but keep the desire there and the pain eventually fades away. Because obviously 17 years of pain, it's not like this shit's just going to go away overnight. And they just learned muscle behavior, especially your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
But I can say now, I never, ever, ever thought I'd have this kind of freedom from pain ever, because I'm driving, not the pain. I'm making the choice because I'm honoring my body and knowing what it needs, not being a slave to this pain.
Because you owned your pain. You actually owned it and you were willing to heal the root causes of it rather than to blame your body and blame your womb and shame your womb and assume there's something going wrong that has no explanation, no root cause. Did you stay consistent in therapy when you realized that you have healing work to do?
Oh, yeah, I did the work. That's the difference too in a lot of people and things. I did the work. I did everything that, and even things that didn't work. I still did what the protocol was to give it a chance. The main thing that took so long was I was kept having to dig for all of this information. I didn't even know what pelvic floor physical therapy was. That's not even average. No one knows.
In the UK, you would never go to your GP with this kind of issue and they'd suggest that you go to see a pelvic specialist that specializes in women's health, or a trauma specialist that specializes in pelvic reintegration, they would put you on medication.
Exactly.
On birth control.
Mm-hmm. By design. And they're counting on you not looking or researching or doing anything about it. But yeah, when I got the books Woman Code and In the Flow by Alyssa Vitti, life-changing. And I learned about pelvic floor physical therapy from my sex therapist, from the group therapy that I was doing. Technically, my endometriosis is embedded in my pelvic muscle. It'll always be there. So endometriosis responds hormonally. That's what causes the pain. It's responding to estrogen floating around because it's outside the uterine wall, right? So any excess estrogen, it's considered an autoimmune disorder because why did your body not detox that excess estrogen? Why is it there? Well, you have this piece responding hormonally outside. So mine is in the pelvic muscle, and that's what causes so much pain. So in their opinion, it'll always be there. But if I have changed, if I have detoxed all the excess estrogen, my body isn't responding because I've changed my diet, my lifestyle, and my mindset for it not to be there. And I have no pain and I'm ovulating and having periods and my ovaries are beautiful. What is that? I mean, that's what I'm saying,
You must look back on your journey and feel so proud of yourself. How much strength and courage and validation and self-assurance does it give you? And does it fill you with knowing that you've overcome a chronic health condition on your own against all of the odds and all of the medical advice you were given, and you kept seeking? What does that fill you with as a woman?
Empowerment and strength. Really? Oh, it's amazing. I never, ever, ever, and this is coming from someone that never thought that would happen ever. It's not like I sat there and I visualized and I was really positive every day. Hell no. No, 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 no. I went through all the motions with it. So it definitely filled me with a lot of confidence and empowerment, and it's never ending, and really just connecting me, filled me with a lot of love for myself, because you can't go through this and have the amount of persistence and courage without really giving a shit to begin with. You mm-hmm. have to, yeah, self-love. And people, I don't think, really understand love to begin with. It's taking something as a part of you. It's acceptance, you know, it's because it's returning back to that oneness. That's what love is. And so having that for yourself and realize reversing everything, like, okay, not outside information in, always going inside for the information first.
Go straight through and sit with your pain, because it really has a message for you.
That's really what it
that's ingrained. Information, right? Inside information.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's very evident that you have done so much shadow work to get to where you are, because you have had to integrate all these parts from within instead of going externally and going, well, I'm a victim of this and I'm a victim of that. I'm a victim of the abuser. I'm a victim of the medical system. I'm a victim of my friends who maybe didn't support me when I was on the bathroom floor with endometriosis. I'm a victim of maybe, you know, my family system who didn't get me the right support when I needed it or sent me to that school in the first place. So you've broken out of all levels of victim consciousness, transcended that, healed yourself, and here you are. And you're saying you never thought that you were ever going to do that.
No. Just to give
keep going on the journey.
Yeah. I like to include that, to say that, because it's real. Like, it's very hard when you're in that much pain to like even consider. You don't even realize what's on the menu at that point. Like, you start to feel better and better, you reach those just a little better, and then there's this whole other world of even better than that that you didn't even realize was there until you detoxed all this other stuff. So it's like you can't even conceive of what's possible when you are there, and that's okay. So that's what I'm saying, it's all just levels.
Yeah, it's the journey of growth, awareness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the expansion of consciousness. You don't know what the next expansion feels like because you're not there. My final question is, do you find yourself still drawing from your womb space, and what's that like for you?
You know, through my art, I'm healed and I heal others. So the Every Phase series is basically illustrating what, and it's through drawing and photography through mixed media, what occurs in your brain and in your body through each of the four phases. And so I'm living the art because I'll make the piece of art during that particular phase. I hold my art as a sacred practice. So having that going, creating that Every Phase series, and I created a book, it's Augmented Reality. It captures the first year of the Every Phase series, but I decided to span it across 13 years. So we're in year 3 right now, which is awesome. And so we'll see how it takes.
You've got 10 more years of writing your book. Is that right?
10 more years of the series. So I wrote the book to capture the first year, and I did. And so that's all the artwork in that book is the first year that I started, and it goes through all the phases. And I wanted that. I wanted to capture the first year. I'll probably have a few other books over this 13 year span, but the series will span that long. And it may even take shape of something different than a book. Like right now I'm doing cyanotypes, which is all made in the sun. It's sun prints, is using the world as your dark room. So it's just the sun. You bring it back in, rinse it off with water. It's beautiful blue, rich, rich blue.
That's stunning.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide brings it out. It's a very old, and actually one of the first women photographers, Anna Atkins, used it to document like plant life.
Where can we find your podcast and your artwork and take a look at these incredible pieces, and your Instagram?
Face Your Shit, Heal Yourself. That's the name of the book. It's also the name of the podcast. It's on every major platform. It's on Spotify. It's on YouTube. It's on everywhere. And then on Instagram, Meredith W. Ochoa, O-C-H-O-A. Another effingartist.com, meredithochoa.com is my website, just my name. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. I have my YouTube channel, Another Effing Artist as well.
Another effing artist, but not just another effing artist. Well, it's been really inspiring to hear your journey, because it's a reminder of what human beings can overcome and what women in particular have to face and what they can conquer. And when they do face it, what they end up feeling from within, a deep, deep sense of empowered self-love, confidence, conviction, creativity. Thank you for being so real. Thank you for being so open with your journey, with the details of it, and for sharing something that we don't often talk about: our genitals, our wounds, our sex life, our pain, our traumas, our betrayals. You know, these are things that as women, when we share with each other, you have every other woman there going, me too.
Yeah.
That's my journey. You know, I resonate with that part of her journey. You know, that's been my journey. And it just brings us all together in this really powerful shared sense of appreciation for the work we're all here to do, which is to be who we are.
It is. And it's so awesome. Awesome is an understatement, really. But knowing other people like you and the work that you're doing, I wish that I would have known earlier, because actually your work has inspired, as you know, some of the pieces in the series, even before I had even talked to you.
Is there anything as parting final wisdom?
I'm going to keep it real. Have your own back. Have your own back. Stand for your needs, for your boundaries, and don't be afraid to have your own back, to be there for you, to say, what do I need? Really just that, developing that self-love is everything. Asking, what does that inner child, that little girl or little boy inside, what did they not get?
Thank you again, Meredith.
Thank you so much for that, too.
Pleasure.
You're awesome.